I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, things.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know, ah!
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta! What is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
Hey, man!
Happy Thursday. As we get closer to the weekend and these championship games, hey, behind the glass, Sam Tarley handling the board for us today, our engineer, Bo Morgan producing the show. Mike Bell, we said this, man, and again, yesterday we talked a little bit about, you know, how Atlanta, how our wonderful city might screw up the Super Bowl. Some things out of our control.
Hopefully there's obviously there'll be one or two things that probably need tightening up.
Yeah, well, a few things. If they got the train off the track, first and foremost.
From what, as of 1:35, the crane had not yet arrived.
All right, where is this crane?
MARTA released a statement. I guess the head of MARTA was like, well, this shows we know how to handle this kind of situation. What? The trains haven't moved for a day and a half. How is that handling anything? But hopefully they'll get that figured out. Everyone's trying to... hope the track's not boogered up. How do you derail coming out of a station that's used a lot, you know, down there at the airport, you know, the end of the line?
I didn't know you could take a wrong turn on a straight track. Well, I had no idea.
MARTA could. But, so that's one thing. Potholes, it's funny, today, walking to work, pothole duty, man. I saw it up on West Peachtree, down on Peachtree. So they are definitely putting the effort in to get the potholes fixed.
Well, I hope so. And as we discussed, there's a few things that we need to get done. And again, we say screw it up in the sense that, you know, what the perception is going to be of our city when folks get here.
Right.
The weather thing we have no control of. But the weather is what Mike and I were talking about, because I'm just tired of these gloomy, rainy days. Now, I know it's going to get cold over the weekend, colder than what we've seen. But, man, I mean, for me, is it just me? It seems like this has been a long winter.
Yeah, I mean, it's been the wettest year. One of the top, three, they said. I thought our buddy Glenn Burns told us a few weeks back. So, yeah, just like Seattle, get out of this, man. Because there's, you know, there's time, you guys have been living here long enough, you'll be playing golf this weekend sometimes, you're lucky enough. So, hopefully this will be nice and funky and get out of the way, and then we will have great weather for the Super Bowl. So, then we will be in consideration for more. We'll just get that one obligatory one for having the new stadium.
You're home for Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta. It is Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk with Dave O'Brien. I just said this to Rick Kamla, and he kind of looked at me like I was crazy, and I'll say it again. And we'll ask Dave O'Brien about this. I still think the Braves are in contention for Bryce Harper. Now, the deal for this is the years. It's the years. And we talked about this yesterday, Mike. Nobody wants to commit to 10 years for Bryce Harper, right, or for that matter, Manny Machado. But that's the contention point, or the point of contention, should I say, for the Braves. But we're going to get into it because, guys, we still have a hole to fill. It's like we're, you know, right around the corner from spring training, and hello, who's in the outfield for us?
Yeah, Manny Machado, as I talk about them and the White Sox, when are we going to see the Braves or anybody pull the trigger? The Phillies are reportedly, you know, the last 2 weeks, the leading candidate for Bryce Harper. But, yeah, I mean, until it gets done, why can't you ask for it? I mean, I know people are saying we need to spend money on pitching. Well, the Braves really aren't spending money on anything, you know, other than Josh Donaldson. So we'll ask Dave about what are they going to do to get that, you know, that extra starter. You need one more guy. We still don't know who the starters are going to be. We have our ideas about who the young guns will be to fill out the starting five in the rotation, but you need one more arm. So we'll try to get some clarification on what the plan is from Anthopoulos, from Dave.
Yeah, that's coming up. Also, Bobby Hebert in the 5 o'clock hour. Listen, I know we don't want to, but they're in the championship game. And we're going to talk to Bobby about these Saints. A lot of people might think that, you know, this thing is just setting up. Saints are the better team. Rams are hot. They've played well. They lost there earlier this year. We're going to let you hear Drew Brees, who said, this is the team we thought we'd see. After beating them, Brees said, we thought we'd see the Rams again down the road, and that's going to happen on Sunday. But I'm curious to find out what Bobby Hebert thinks about the game plan going in against the Rams. Because in the first matchup, the game plan was, you know, Peters and attack him. And Marcus Peters had a terrible day. As a matter of fact, he got upset with the media after a gumbo question, which we'll let you hear. So, listen, I don't know if Sean Payton does the similar game plan, but Bobby Hebert is in the know down there, and we'll talk to him in the 5 o'clock hour.
And Peters got turned around when the Cowboys made, you know, a comeback, albeit too late, in the L.A. Coliseum a couple of times. So, still a guy you can exploit. I've talked about the Sheldon Rankins thing. We talked to Brian Billick about that from NFL Network, and he says, yeah, man, that allows the Rams to do what they want to do. C.J. Anderson also emerging if Gurley's not 100% to sort of complement the run game. And then, you know, as you said, we were talking about, it's a show before the show. We were talking earlier with John Michaels off the air. The Chiefs, you know, they put 40 points up in Foxborough, and their defense wasn't as healthy. Their defense is playing a lot better now. So I know everybody just wants to pencil in the Patriots, but we, most importantly, we got to get this right because I got to be in Vegas on Sunday to put the money on the line, and we get this nice little teaser and try to handicap the Super Bowl matchup.
I like the Chiefs right now a lot more than I do the Rams just because the Saints are at home, and we know how tough it is to go in there and win. I know some of the Rams are saying, and noise is noise. Okay, well, in the playoff environment like that, when you need to make a play, it's a different type of noise. Right. But the Chiefs at home, man, they have been as consistent when you talk about being able to put up points. I just think people are discounting how well the defense could play against New England. And they haven't given up 40 points in almost 4 years at home, we're talking about, with the Chiefs. We'll see. Mike, we're going to talk about it a lot more tomorrow, get into specifics and break things down. We'll look at the coaches. We'll look at the players, the O-lines, all of that stuff that's going to matter on Sunday. But, you know, everybody wants to talk about the weather. Okay, both teams have to play in it in Kansas City. You know, so
seems like it's getting better for everything I'm reading. Yeah, it's improving by the day.
Is it going to be cold? Yes. But you know what I mean? There's nothing you can do about it. So I'm not going to blame the game if it plays out that way on the cold. Both teams have to show up and play in the weather.
Yeah, man, I'm just looking forward to, you know, seeing high flying. Everybody wants offense these days. And all these teams, you know, the Patriots, we kind of take them for granted, but they put up a lot of points despite not having the marquee wide receiver. Right? You know, Josh Gordon, obviously, you know, he faded away. But all these teams can put points on the board. It's just a matter of, you know, who's going to get those stops? I mean, both the over-unders, you could – I think the Rams one is a little low. We'll talk more about it later on. But I could see both these games in the 30s, couldn't you?
I absolutely could. And a lot of people think that the Rams-Saints game is going to be a repeat of what we saw. Not win-loss, but score-wise.
Right.
I don't know who's going to be on top. It is Dukes and Bell. Find us on social media, guys. It is always at 92.9 The Game. And like us on Facebook if you've not done so already. Follow us on Instagram. And Mike is on Twitter at MikeBellATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes in this radio show, Dukes and Bell 929.
Hey, man, we mentioned our conversation coming up with Dave O'Brien. Stay tuned for that. I saw something cool today. I got a press release on email from the Braves today. And you see they're going to do their – they basically announced tonight so they're going to have their bobbleheads.
Yeah.
And you're going to have an Acuna bobblehead, an Albies bobblehead. But one I mentioned earlier I thought was really cool. If you guys ever been down to – Fulton County Stadium, Turner Field, or the new SunTrust, if you hadn't had a chance to meet a real treasure, Walter Banks. Walter Banks is going to have his own bobblehead for his 80th birthday. I believe it's July 5th is the date I saw. But Walter is such a sweetheart, a numerologist. You throw a number at him, next thing you know, he'll be like Rain Man, but just an absolute sweetheart. That's kind of cool to see a guy, longtime Braves employee, and usher at other venues here in Atlanta getting honored.
When you put an usher in promos and commercials.
Right. He's got some juice.
He's pretty cool, and that's what the Braves have done. Congratulations to Walter, man. And listen, if Mike said it. If you've seen this guy, you met him, or you talked to him, he is a staple for Braves games. And it's only fitting that the guy gets a bobblehead. Mm-hmm. All right, man. We got plenty to get to, guys. UGA's losing another quarterback to transfer. We'll talk about that. Also, a few free agents, Mike, that are going to be out there. And listen, we're going to have some fun with this, okay? Things obviously will change, and we know that once we find out who the Falcons may be moving on from to change the salary cap. But we're just going to assume that we have money to spend. Really, the discussion is going to be about who you would possibly want to go after, because I think you have to target guys before we start talking about the money. For example, the Falcons aren't just going to roll in one day and go, well, you know what, let's go get Jadeveon Clowney. You need to target guys who make sense for what you want to do. And here's the thing, Mike, you said this, offensively we think we know where they're going, but are we going to be a little bit more of a power team, which might change the kind of offensive linemen we may go after?
Yeah, and we want guys that are a little more athletic at the at the guard and sort of at the tackle, and I'm just so over the zone blocking scheme for this team. Other teams have got the right personnel. We struggle trying to fill it in. So will we have some kind of a, you know, a mashup of the power scheme where we're going inside, outside zone? I'd like to see that. I think I speak for all Falcon fans, you and I out there, get a yard. Short yardage has been our Achilles heel going back to Smitty. You know, I mean, even when we had a good run game, it's just something we just aren't able to get. To put teams away, you got to run the football. We were so lucky to have big numbers from Matt, but we fell short of the two wins we needed because we couldn't put teams away this year.
It is something that has to get fixed this offseason. You know, and again, we could run quarterback sneaks all game, but it shouldn't come down to that. I mean, if you want to be able to go for it on fourth and one, you should be able to if you're going to have a fullback, an effective fullback, put him in the game and let's use him. If not, we should have the ability to hand the ball off to Free, and we're assuming he'll be healthy, and let's go get a yard.
Because if you guys follow the NFL, like I know you do, everybody talks about the 53-man roster. What were we doing with a fullback that never got used? Wasted space.
2 years in a row, Mike.
Total waste of space. Total waste of a roster spot.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, commit to it. If you're going to do it, or go get the right personnel. I agree with you that they're going to – and if you've been reading some of the blogs, I know there's a good blog in The Athletic from – is it Jason Butt? Squid is the writer. I know that, but anyway, he read a good blog about potentially what they're going to do in the draft. You know, are they going to go offensive line, defensive line? Remember, before you get to the combine, it's kind of a moot point because that's when you see the stock really rise or fall, and then you really know what you're dealing with. Some guys, because of how they show up in the measurables, might fall a little bit. But if we could tackle defensive tackle and offensive line in the first two picks, I think that'd be a hell of a draft for us.
Yeah, I do too. But that's why, you know, the free agency aspect of things. And what we're going to talk about today and just have some fun is where we're starting. I think we're going to know a lot more here in a month or so when it comes to the draft and getting ready for the draft, as Mike just alluded to. It's Dukes and Bell, man. Let's give you a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
fun. This show is fun. F-U-N. Tell your friends. Fun. Now text the word to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Plan our national signing bonus contest. Fun, fun, fun.
You're going to have fun coming out of your... Hey, man, fun gets texted to 72881. Fun. You want to have some fun? Look, we want to give away the money. It's never been easier than that. That's three letters. You text fun to 72881. Even I can't screw that up. Answer the phone if somebody calls. Win the loot.
All right, guys. Coming up, we'll hit some headlines. Also, Trae Young came on this radio station today. We're going to let you hear what he had to say about how well the Hawks are playing. And, you know, meshing, man. And Kevin Herter, Mike, we were talking about this in the bullpen as well. He is the guy that I think a lot of people have forgotten about when it comes to our Hawks. Yeah, we drafted Trae and Omar. Kevin Herter can play. And he's showing you that he can play. Not on one end, on both ends. And he joined our morning show this morning. So we'll let you hear a little bit of that as well coming up here on the program. Kyrie Irving, Mike, apologizes to LeBron. If you haven't heard, we'll let you hear that as well. We got a lot in store, man, and plenty of football talk on the way. 404-741-0929. You can text the show, as always. It's our telephone number if you want to call in and get involved as usual.
Yeah, man, we got lots of fun and shenanigans for you today. And again, if you haven't tried our beer, did you see that tweet the other earlier today?
Incredible.
Appreciate this. As a kid doing, he's going to was it college finals or what, was it midterms? Whatever he's doing. No better way to study, guys, than with an ice cold Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale next to you.
Yeah, and I think he's like one of these. I don't know. I think it's Cameron, right? I think it was his name. But he like did some stuff at Disney where they have these internships, and he wants to be like a Disney film guy. It is really cool. Anyways.
Again, it helps to fuel the creative process, Dukes and Bell. Hey, man.
Yes, it does.
Try it.
Hey, headlines next. It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Thursday. Coming up, we're going to talk about some of the top free agents the Falcons could be interested in. And also some interesting news in the NFL as we get to our Blitz segment in about 40 minutes. There might be some things going on with Jacksonville and Leonard Fournette. We will explain.
I still can't believe that.
Interesting.
Because, you know, real quick, we'll talk about it, but you and I met him at the Super Bowl when the Falcons were playing the Patriots in Houston. And he was a very impressive young man to talk to. And you and I, we literally came out of it like, well, he's going to be a great guy. You know what I mean? You didn't see. It's not the end of the world, but he's had some stuff. You know, he's had some stuff that you don't really need on your resume when you're trying to, you know, be a star in the NFL, right?
No, I thought he'd be more impactful with Jacksonville than he's been. But there's some other stuff that's going on off the field where apparently, you know, he's now saying, I want my money. Pay me my money. All right, man, we'll get to that. As we said, guys, find us on social media across all social media platforms. 92.9 The Game, your home for Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta. And how are you feeling, by the way, about the Super Bowl? Not the teams. Let's not worry about that. I'm just saying the week of and the festivities that are going on?
Well, I was coming back from State Farm Arena after the win over the Thunder the other night, and my Uber driver, Raj, who I get all the time, he's funny, he goes, I'm like, do I know you? He goes, oh, yes, I picked you up outside of St. Regis. You were quite you were having fun. That's why you take Uber. But anyway, he was saying that, and I will have more clarification on this, but I believe they're going to have a lot of one-way street stuff. Some of the one-way streets anyway exist downtown, midtown anyway, but yeah. They're going to have kind of an entrance and egress from around town. Security is going to be noticeable. We saw it in Houston, and you will notice that if you spend time in downtown areas and parts of other parts like Buckhead, Midtown. But, I mean, that's just the reality, man. We had a homegrown knucklehead thinking about doing some damage up in D.C. We just saw in the headlines today. So always got to watch out for that lone wolf. Hey, and not to sound like Sammy Safety, but I think it bears repeating. You see something, say something.
Guys, that is a message from Sammy Safety.
No, I mean, don't be PC. If you see something, somebody looks like a wackadoodle, tell somebody in a uniform. And I don't mean a janitor.
Okay, wait a minute, though. There are going to be a lot of wackadoodles here if the Saints come to Atlanta.
Well, again, especially if you see a guy, a wackadoodle in a Florida league. Call buddy. Call security. Drop a dime on him. Get on 911. Get that Saints fan in the hooska where he belongs. He's probably about to do some criminality, Carl.
Boys and girls, again, a message from Sammy Safety.
What does Sammy Safety look like?
He's kind of square. He looks like Paul Blart.
No, Mike's right, man. But, yeah, the security is going to be amped up, and rightfully so. Guys, it's the biggest event in the world, period. You know, Mike and I were talking about this real quick before we get to headlines. They have been here. Security forces, FBI, CIA, they've been here for weeks.
Well, the dude that I told you was part of, I don't forget what the hell the agency, it's like the super duper secret agency above FEMA or something.
It was like Men in Black?
But remember, I told you this is about 3 or 4 months back, and they were doing a dry run about the concentric ring of circle of security and doctors and first responders. Oh, if there's a dirty bomb, things you don't really want to think about, to be quite honest with you. But, I presume these are still your tax dollars at work despite the shutdown.
Yeah. So with that said, now I'm a little antsy about it because, again, the teams, but potentially. But we're going to have a good time, man. We're going to be all over it. And Mike and I will be down there broadcasting live. The entire radio station will be. We'll be bringing you the biggest guests that come to town and that are hanging out here the week of Super Bowl, man. Let's get to some headlines. Let's hit some headlines.
That's better.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, man. Let's start with Bill Belichick. All of a sudden, like, Belichick's become a soundbite, right? He never says anything.
What did Mumbles have to say?
Well, Mike, you know what? They asked Coach, what do you think about the cold weather?
Do you mind playing in severe cold?
Love to play in a championship game. Schedule whatever you want. We'll be there.
Can I be honest? Does he talk to his lady like that?
I think that's probably how he got her.
I was thinking maybe we could have a nice Italian dinner. Maybe a bottle of red, bottle of white, see where it goes.
Then what are we going to do?
Dim the lights. Take a look at some zone defense slides. <we've got.
laughs> Love to play in a championship game. Schedule whatever you want.
But now look, we've talked to Vrabel, we've talked to George Godsey, we've talked to guys.
He's actually cool.
And they've already talked. Now we can talk about this because these guys have done interviews and talked about it because there's some deep background for Belichick for a potential Super Bowl broadcast that's going to be done. But here's the thing. They have a lighter side. They do have a let your hair down side in the Patriots. You just don't see it. And, you know, as much as we want to hate them, and certainly the hatred comes from the jealousy and also obviously how
winning.
They took it away from us.
Yeah.
But we've heard the stories from, like, you know, Gronk in the tight ends room, and, you know, Mr. Kraft comes in. Oh, it's like, guys, I'm getting these women are sending me photos on the internet. Bob Kraft comes into the tight ends room, and Gronk's like, well, I think you should call a couple of them, Mr. Kraft. I mean, it really is. There's a much lighter side to the Patriots that you just don't really see. But we've heard about it.
Yeah, I just wonder how Belichick talks to his woman. Yeah, because this is all we get. Here's another example.
We'll put on some, I don't know, maybe some Ashford and Simpson. Get busy on the bearskin rug.
He was asked about the Chiefs' offense, and he said this.
Yeah, again, we're going to have to stop the whole offense. It's not one guy. The quarterback's good. The backs are good. Tight ends are good. Receivers are good. Line's good. Coach is good. I mean, they're all good. So we're going to have to play good team defense, and there that includes is. Everything. So they're all important.
Okay. All right. It is funny. Is he the greatest to do it? Yes. But will they do it Sunday? We'll continue to discuss coming up in our NFL Blitz. Drew Brees, Mike, talking about the Rams as we get ready for the NFC Championship game.
As we looked across the league and saw what the Rams were doing and the success that they were having, they're a phenomenal team, and they had a great season. You know, obviously, we played them, you know, mid-season, and it was a hard-fought game on both sides of the ball. But I think we had a feeling then that, obviously, we aspired to be in this situation, and I think we all had a feeling that they were going to be the team that we might face again, and so here we are.
You know, he chose his words very carefully right there. We aspired to be here. He didn't say, we knew we'd be here, and we figured the Rams would be. We aspired to be here.
Well, I mean, they were certainly playing at a great clip, and then, you know, as we said, of late down the stretch, you know, there were some games where they looked a little more beatable, you know, as opposed to this, you know, midseason when they were pasting teams like the Eagles, and Drew Brees was setting all sorts of records. But, you know, I don't know if I'm harping on it too much, but does your defense account for the lack of having Sheldon Rankins out there to be the stopper in the middle? And what he's kind of like their Grady Jarrett, but even means even more to that team.
Yeah, he's dominant, man. He really is.
But it's hard to bet against Sean Payton at home.
No doubt. Listen, as much as I want the Rams to win and not have the Saints here, and by the way, I will act a fool this weekend if that happens, but I don't want to get there yet because Sean Payton has shown you, Mike, they can come back from 14 down, right? They can right come back from 17 down. That this team, with the way they play offense, when they have it clicking, can compete with anybody in the league, and especially being at home. Hey, a guy that I do think that is going to have to step his game up, and part of the Rams, you know, game plan the last time around, and maybe they'll do a little bit of this, was, all right, we're going to go man-to-man. We're just going to man up because our corner, this is why we went and got Tlaib. Now, he was injured, but Peters was a guy that they picked on. And so listen to Peters getting upset with the media after a gumbo question.
It's not going to get no further. I am having fun. We're talking about it right now. We're laughing about it, man. I don't think that is something that we need to be pushing towards just over the top of the NFC championship. Let's push that we got the number one team in the NFC versus number two team in the NFC, and we're trying to see what we're trying to send to the Super Bowl.
Okay. He didn't want to talk about that gumbo thing, you know. So he's basically respecting your opponent.
Right. I mean, this guy's a two-time Pro Bowler, but he's had some bad moments. I mean, look, everybody gets burned in the NFL, right? Fair to say.
Yeah.
But he's had some strange moments at this season as well, where you're like, wow. It's like his skills eroded overnight, but sometimes he has been a lost puppy in that defense.
Yeah, he has, man. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our headline segment, guys. UGA is losing another quarterback to transfer. Now, the Dog Report's coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll dive into this. But Justin Fields, he gone. Now, Mike, it is Matthew Downing, a rising sophomore who served as a third-string quarterback for the Bulldogs this past season. He announced on Twitter, where else would you announce things these days, Wednesday night, that he's transferring to TCU.
Great horny toads.
Yeah. Right.
Well, they take a lot of transfers over there, don't they, in Fort Worth?
6 foot, 195 pounds from Alpharetta.
Okay. I mean, best of luck. It is this sort of new reality. We talked about it with Dari Noka yesterday from SEC Network and ESPN. And it doesn't diminish, as he said, doesn't diminish the early signing period and everything else, but it does create this now college player free agency, which I have no problem with. I mean, people are acting like the sky is falling. Coaches, and we heard this, you know, with the Jaden Hazelwood recruitment. Coaches lie through their teeth. Guys pull the rug out from these kids all the time. There's only a few periods in their life when the kids have the juice, when all these teams are trying to get them. And now apparently through this portal, you know, and after that, you're stuck and, you know, they can tell you they're not bringing a kid in and they bring in a kid at your position. Now, again, I get it. You want to compete. In a perfect world, we all battle. But these guys that have that, you know, 4- and 5-star pedigree, they want to get to the NFL.
Is he in the portal? If he's in the portal, then he's available. Hey, we talked about Joseph Martinez signing his 5-year contract extension with our Atlanta United yesterday. Listen to Darren Eales, the president of our Atlanta United, talk about Joseph.
I think it's true to say in the city of Atlanta, he's one of the biggest sports personalities here. He transcends not just the fans that are interested in soccer, but I think a lot of people in the city of Atlanta know who Joseph is because of the way that he wears his heart on his sleeve and the way he is on the pitch.
Yeah, man, Joseph, now again, 5 years, if he stays, he wants to stay, said this is his Real Madrid or Barcelona. In his mind, it's the final destination for him. But again, if a team from Europe came over with some big money, Darren would have some soul-searching to do. Because part of the business models we told you yesterday is to make money off the transfer fee. We're still waiting to see where Miggy's going to go.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. Let's hear Darren talk about Joseph understanding that. Because, you know, again, as excited as we are, this is fluid, right? We'll see. But Darren Eales talks about Joseph understanding the big picture.
We're excited to have a player that, you know, understands now that it's about winning trophies every year. And he's got a big part to play in that, not only in terms of what he does on the pitch, but in terms of how he helps his teammates, how he, you know, performs in training, how he performs in terms of, you know, being that sort of face of the franchise. So he understands that.
Yeah. And listen, I think that he represents that very well. I love his competitive spirit. I mean, the dude is reckless on the pitch.
Right.
You know, he's willing to give up his body, his head, his leg. You've seen it. To make a goal, and that's the kind of guy I want.
And, you know, he even had a great moment in that in the All-Star game against Juventus as he comes barreling into the goal. I mean, he's had some unbelievable moments. You know, Tito Villalba's done it. Miggy's done it. You know, unfortunately, Escobar, who's out right now with the broken clavicle. We've got so much depth, but this is why you've always got to be on the prowl for more talent, as Darren Eales is, and that's why we brought in Frank DeBoer, because part of his pedigree is to bring up, you know, the youth and develop those guys. And we're going to need it the way the schedule plays out.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We're going to talk about what Kevin Huerter and Trey Young had to say today here on our radio station, 92.9 The Game, a little bit later on. But I want you to hear Kyrie Irving, because a lot of people around the country are talking about this. And, Mike, we always say this. You know, in the NBA, especially now, it seems like in locker rooms, guys don't even want to talk to each other in the same locker room. Right?
They walk across 10 feet of carpet to talk to each other.
They're Instagramming. They're doing all these things. Now, remember, backstory is Kyrie leaves Cleveland because he wants to be the man. There's no beef between him and LeBron. It's cool. They won a championship together. But Kyrie last night admitted, you know what? Some of that stuff LeBron was telling me, he was right.
I'll tell you one thing, and obviously this is something that it was a big deal for me, because I had to call Bron, you know, and tell him, like, you know, I apologize for being that young player that wanted to everything at his, you know, at his fingertips, and I wanted everything to be at, you know, my threshold. I wanted to be the guy that led us to the championship. I wanted to be the leader. I wanted to be all that, and, you know, the responsibility of being the best player in the world and leading a team is something that's not meant for many people. And Bron was one of those guys that came to Cleveland and tried to really show us what it's like to win a championship, and it was hard for him. And sometimes getting the most out of the group, it's not the easiest thing in the world.
Oh, you see that now.
I mean, more mature. These guys, look, you know, these guys kind of grow up some at different paces, and I think it's kind of cool. It's a sign of maturity that he talks about all those things.
Yeah, I respect Kyrie a lot. Most guys would not mention that they had a phone call with the guy that they left, and everybody said, you're crazy for leaving him. Either way, man, big ups, Kyrie. Hey, coming up, man, we're going to talk about free agency. All right, who should our Falcons be interested in? We'll give you some names next. Who knows how much money we're going to have to spend or had to spend for our Atlanta Falcons? It's Dukes and Bell coming up, NFL Blitz at the top of the hour. But let's just pretend, all right, that we've got money to go do what we want to do. Now, as of right now, because this is going to change, Mike Bell, what do you want? What is your number one thing if you could go get in a free agency? And again, money's no issue. We're right. Just going to go get what we want. What is it?
I must protect Matt Ryan. Okay. I must run the ball. I got to get two guards and a tackle.
All right, so you're going to go get how many in free agency? One or two?
I got to try to get guards. I know it. First round, there's only one offensive tackle that's really well. There's a couple, but they'll be gone by the time we're picking, unless we're going to move up.
What are we, 14?
Right. Okay. But I would say that you would say, got to get two guards. And if we're going to stay with the zone scheme, they got to fit, so they got to be nasty, they got to be physical. You know, hopefully, we'll, like as we said, Carl, I hope we're going to sort of tweak this and we can implement some of the power game into our runs.
Here's the irony for free agency, at least the top-tier guys. Now, again, if Thomas Dimitroff is true to his word and we're not going to be participants in day one or day three or whatever it is, the first week of free agency, okay, that doesn't mean they don't make moves.
Right.
But when you start talking about the higher-priced guys, then we're not going to be in you know, the market for some of these guys that I'm going to mention. But, Mike, most of them are defensive guys. Most of your top-tier free agents this year in the NFL are defensive guys. DeMarcus Lawrence, Cowboys. Le'Veon Bell, I'm just throwing a name out there. I'm not saying we need him. I'm just saying these are guys that are going to be out there. Jadeveon Clowney, Grady, but we know Grady's staying here, right? And some of these teams are going to keep their own. Some of them are going to use the franchise tag on them. But guys like Trey Flowers with the Patriots, a defensive end who's helped them, is going to be on the market. Earl Thomas, these are all, for the most part, high-end defensive guys that are going to be commanding a lot of money. You know, Landon Collins, safety for the Giants. So Anthony Barr. These are names that you're going to be hearing.
Mm-hmm.
There are not a whole lot of offensive linemen, there will be, that will be available, but to what quality? And this gets to your point. Are you going to be willing to pay top-tier money, as we did, let's just say, with Alex Mack a few years ago, to go get a guard, if that's your choice, or a tackle? And, you know we've talked about this too. Matthews is our left tackle, but if you could find another tackle, would you move Matthews over to the right side?
Yeah, I totally would. Although, I mean, is there something to do with the prestige of being, you know, your dad's one of the greatest to ever dress out of the position? I even suggested, we've talked about this with Archer, you know, on the air about moving him to guard. You know, and I would see people say that's sacrilegious, not to mention you're paying him tackle money. Although, you know, in free agency, the guard money is going to jump up like it did last year, which priced us out of the upper tier guards. So here's the deal. Yeah, I could totally move him to right. I could go and if you wanted to trade up. But here's the thing. With all the things we need to kind of get going here in this year, it's kind of like 16 when Arthur Blank said, I need three starters. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Jonah Williams would be the answer to our problems from Alabama.
Agreed.
But you'd have to trade up and give up a second rounder to get him.
Yeah.
So that kind of defeats the porpoise, as my dad would say, you know, because we got to get a defensive tackle. I mean, I don't think Deidre Sinat is going to be anything more than maybe a role player because you need the bigger size complement to Grady. You know, Dexter Lawrence would be perfect. Could you trade back into the bottom of the first round and pick up Dexter Lawrence from Clemson? That would be the perfect fit.
If you want to go, here we go with the Clemson guys. If you want to go, and I'm making fun, they've got legitimate first
one really
round picks.
Good, one was good, and now he's not so good in pick.
Listen, the schools don't matter. I mean, if the kid can play and he fits what you do, you draft him. I'm with you. But what about Sheldon Richardson, defensive tackle with the Vikings? He's a big, stout guy that's going to be a free agent. And this gets back to, you know, again, what are the priorities? And so, guys, we're going to be talking a lot about this throughout the course of the offseason. Don't get it twisted. This is a big offseason for our Falcons. Dan Quinn, you fired three coordinators. You hired three guys. It's a big offseason. Some things need to get right. And part of that is selecting the right personnel. So, you know, some of these free agents we might be interested in. But realistically, Mike, we always talk about this. Smart teams retain their own, especially when you've invested a bunch of money in these guys.
Right.
That's why Grady's not going anywhere. You don't trade away or let 25-year-old Grady Jarrett walk away after being in your system for 4 years, and then all of a sudden the impact he's made, and you go, well, I'm just going to let him walk. Teams don't do that.
Look, the Falcons also, unfortunately, have tried to validate some of the moves they made. Remember, we traded up for Desmond Trufant. We did not take him to the end of his career. We gave him a contract with a year left, which is generally what we do with our star players, and he's no longer a star player. He's a guy with a guaranteed money that he's not living up to what we're paying him, to be quite honest, because in some cases, and we're not the only team that does that. You know, Scott Pioli, give you an example. Pioli drafts Tyson Jackson in the first round for Kansas City, a total bust. And then he sacks us with him. He brings him over trying to, you know, again, revalidate that pick, which doesn't work.
Yeah, he can play.
There is some confusion because I don't know definitively, but I've been told that Scott Pioli is involved with some of the offensive line, picks and or – you know, helping out in the free agent process. Well, it ain't working. You know, that's to me is whoever's picking the old lineman, you're not doing a good job right now. I mean, that's where I'm at. I mean, at some point we're going to get around to the personnel department. The coach has already put his neck on the line by, you know, firing two assistants and bringing in two former head coaches. So let's just hope, guys, between – and you said the cap space. We don't know how they're going to maneuver and manipulate the money and create space. There'll be contracts coming off the books. They'll maybe be letting guys go. I mean, there's a few guys. Would you try to get free to renegotiate? I know you'd take that deal.
No,
but there's a lot of ways you can move some of the money.
Yeah, listen, I think you have to do what's in the best interest of your team. And, it's never personal. If you go to Trufant, for example, let's use him as an example. We've been talking about his number, right? $9.1 million, $8.5 million, you know, difference as far as, you know, be on the hook for $1.2 million dead money. You got to ask him. If that's in the best interest of your team, you got to go to Trufant and say, listen, we really like what you're doing, and we want you to be a part of this, but we need to restructure. Okay. That's Robert Alford's number. You got to restructure. I think you got to ask those questions, Mike. This can't be a situation where you go into the room and everybody's like, yeah, but we drafted him high, and so we probably shouldn't ask him to restructure or renegotiate. You got to do what's best for your team. 404-741-0929. We're having some fun with this because, again, right now, there's still a lot of information that Mike and I, we don't know yet. You don't know yet. And a lot of this is based on what we're going to find out about some of these guys that are going to be in the draft.
Hey, man, my man JT, who works out of the gym, he's one of the contractors working on one of these high-rises getting built here in Midtown. He was asking me, and this is a legitimate question, so let me ask you, because I didn't really have an answer for him. We're going to be okay with TAC, right? I mean, we went out of our way to not try to judge or not try to guess what's going on, but we hope that everything's going to be cool with him, right, moving forward.
All I can say is I'm cool with TAC until the team tells me we're not cool with him. And you can't do more than that. I mean, why wouldn't we be? If this was not a big deal and the team is not concerned, and if they are privately and we don't know about it, we'll find out eventually. Right now, I'm cool with TAC until the team tells me otherwise. That's where I'm at.
Hey, man, on Twitter, a guy just hit us up, and you guys can always come at us at Dukes and Bell 929. Also, he's put him up, C. Dukes, and I'm Mike Bell, ATL. Will asks us on the Twitter, Schrader struggles with most edge rush. Is there any way, we've talked about this, moving Schrader to the guard? A lot of guys say, Squid, you don't like the idea of Schrader moving to the guard position. Why not? Explain this.
I think he's just a little too stiff. I mean, you got to be a little bit, you got to be able to move, get to the second level.
You mean he's got to have movement in his hips?
Yeah, well, and guard. If you want to be a guard, I also think that...
Well, that's Mike Mayock. You know, I'm no longer an analyst. I am now back in personnel.
Oh, no, you're an analyst, Mike Mayock.
For the Raiders, but he's got to have better hip sway.
Well, and he's just a stiffer guy, and you need to be a little bit lower gravity, get low, and it's not going to work. He's probably a guy that you're going to see on the roster in training camp,
right?
And you're going to see what he has, because even Arch talked about this, I think, the other day on the morning show. You know you're going to see, let him give a chance to win his job back. But if not, you can always make that as opposed to June 1st cut then, so you might be able to move on. But yeah. I don't see them just going after 1 year. You know, he had one bad season.
You notice something here, though, about this conversation and ones that we'll have moving forward? We don't need skill guys. We got a lot of those guys. We got a lot of playmakers. We need nuts and bolts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this is. This isn't going to be sexy, guys. This also, oh, listen, if there is a Calvin Ridley thing that happens in the draft.
No, hold on.
If the best player all of a sudden pops up and you go, well, that doesn't fit. We'll see how that plays out. But that's not what we need.
All right. I mean, if you have somebody for instance, there's a big stud running back that's there. I mean, look, we probably do need a running back, but I just always – one thing I was – as much as I knock on the personnel department, I do trust them to find quality in the third, fourth round at running back because they've shown they can do that. They've done that before with Coleman.
Well, maybe
– obviously with Free. But, I mean, we cannot go off on some treasure hunt for a skill position player when we need bricks and mortar, bricks and mortar. Now, look, you blew it with Sam Baker because the second contract, that was a blown deal. Lamar Holmes, cons. Matthews isn't a Pro Bowler. This personnel department struggles with O-line. But they're going to have to make that decision in the first or second round in this draft. How do you not?
Okay, wait a minute now. You're going to pass up the best dynamic linebacker in this draft?
All right, well, then you know what? Then you can come out of the stands and protect Matt Ryan.
I mean, is that what you're going to do?
The defense is fine. Defense is going to be healthy. They're fine. You got to get the O-line straightened out. I'm telling you. I mean, I know where you're going with this. We all agree about the Gurley thing in hindsight. Gurley was the pick, not Vic. That was a need.
This is why it's not easy. This is why Mike wants to automatically just go pick the guy. You got to go offensive line. When the best game-changing player is on the board, you don't pass him up.
All right. Dan Quinn's butt is on the line.
All right, we'll talk more about it, guys. Coming up, Falcon Report at 5. We're coming back with the NFL Blitz next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.